Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to a new year of The Max Show. We're back. We finally sobered up, and we're here to tell you everything that's gone on this week in Macintosh. And there's loads to talk about, actually, because we have CES as well, which has got tons of stuff. So, and there's a couple of conjecture articles and all that kind of thing. I've got an enormous panel. I've got six of them. See, look, there you go, all six. It's a seven-man show again, just like before Christmas. And just like before Christmas, I've got the tinsely record thingy up, and I forgot to take the tinsel off it. So I don't know if that counts as keeping the decorations up too long after Christmas and bad luck and all that, or not, but there we go. First, to start us off, the fantastic, with new camera coming, Don McAllister.
Yes, hello, Ewan. Yeah, I've given up on that old Logitech webcam. It kept keeps going to switching to green and going into funny aspect ratios. So I've got a big cardboard box on my desk, and I've got my MacBook Pro sort of raised 2 foot up in the air. So I'm using my the built-in camera on there for now. So that'll have to do for today.
Excellent. Jolly good. Good Crimbo?
Yes, but nice and restful. Got a lot done in the house and whatever. But basically just chilled out and had a bit of a think and some planning for the next year coming. So, yeah, it was great.
Excellent. Jolly good. Next to him in the centre, he's not going to be used to this order. DHM, how you doing, mate?
Oh, meal ready?
Yeah, exactly. You're normally fast asleep at this point, aren't you?
come back when I'm awake.
How have you been?
Busy.
Excellent. Jolly good. We like busy.
Jump straight in. I can't believe it's the end of the first proper week. I mean, I know everyone likes to stretch the Christmas break out as far as they can, but I guess this is the first full week back, and it's been a bit full on.
It's Friday. You're back on the sofa, mate. Don't worry about it. Relaxation starts here. Next to him, Adam from the MacCast. How you doing, mate?
Good. Hanging in there.
How's sunny California?
Starting my morning. It's sunny and cold for me, but not for anybody else who's in a place that has reasonable weather.
Jolly good.
Or reasonably cold weather, I should say. I have the reasonable weather, in my opinion, but that's just me.
Excellent, mate.
But it's 50 and I'm freezing. I'm walking around the house in a parka.
Oh, gosh.
For me.
Hate you.
Poor thing.
Yeah. Kelly, from different surroundings, where are you today?
Yes, I'm coming from my mom's house, which I'm house-sitting while she's elsewhere for the winter, because she, too, is a believer in reasonable weather, and it's a good thing she's not here right now, because everything in Portland is frozen.
Yeah.
The warmest spot in town is freezing temperature. Everything else is less than that, so cool. We have fog that's freezing, it's no good, so I'm really glad I don't have anywhere to go today.
Excellent. So you thought you'd come on this show. Very sensible. Yeah. Next to her... Mr. Swagger from the Philippines, stinking hot but raining.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've got the air conditioner on.
Yeah,
actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's that bad.
Actually, it's quite comfortable today.
It's been
rainy a little bit, and it's been a little cooler, but it's still at that time of night where you still need the air conditioner, or your skin will stick to each other. Pretty much.
Batwitch wants to know why it's St. Patrick's Day so soon. That's green, dude. Green.
Yes, it's very green, isn't it?
And talking of green, here he is. The William Green. Slightly less of the William Green, apparently, after neurovirus raced through his system.
Ouch.
A virus-ravaged Will Green. How you doing, bud?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well endowed. Thank you.
Moving on. It's not that kind of show, but never mind. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, mate. Any feedback on the Christmas show?
Not too much. I thought it came together quite well.
Have you sacked Zach?
What for?
Well, I don't know. Have you sacked him because he's not there?
Oh, see, no. He was on work experience doing my editing. He had a week here.
Oh, I was going to offer him a contract. Really well. I thought he was good.
Yeah, I think he did a really good job.
Excellent.
I showed him a bit of video editing, and I showed him a bit of audio editing. Not that probably...
I was going to say, man, that was...
But I'm sure he learned from the mistakes.
My name's Ewan Rankin, and I was born mobile. Did we all see really? The Qualcomm keynote last night?
Oh.
I was. I mean, this guy here. Who the hell is this?
Certainly something.
A for the start. Look at his t-shirt. It's a polar bear in a set of 1980s sunglasses that you don't see anyone wearing now, unless they're an old woman in Monaco.
That wasn't even a cool shirt in the 80s. Let me tell you now.
And he was the thing that got me was. He was, I mean, normally now, everyone is so PC, aren't they? They're really bothered about what they say. And this dude comes on and he says, and I was born mobile, and my girlfriend, Fuego. And he puts his hand up like a big set of boobs and grasps them and says, Fuego. Now, in the UK, Fuego was a really crap Renault car in the 1980s that rusted itself to pieces. It was, I mean, this car should have been called the Renault Entropy because it was always just going into nothing before it even started. But this guy comes out and he holds his hands like a big pair of boobs and says, Fuego!
Yeah, isn't CES wonderful?
And then Barmer, here he is.
Oh, dear.
Well, what'd he do?
What a great picture. That is the way he came onto stage. That still supremely shows the motion that he exuded walking onto the stage. He was at a wee trot with the gooseneck out, and he was away.
There's an animated GIF of him running across the stage chasing an iPad.
That's good. I'm not sure whether I should be making a Gollum joke here.
Oh, the precious.
Or what exactly? Tell me he just came on stage and screamed developers. At least someone had the sense to put a jacket on him so we can't see the flop sweat.
No, Lex Luthor, says the chat room.
No, because Lex Luthor was always kind of cool. A little bit cool.
Is he doing the foxtrot? Cool. And
Steve Ballmer.
I think he looks like Uncle Fester, says Tone.
Yes!
Hey, Lengthen the coat and we're there. The reason he was chasing an iPad across the screen was because a bunch of thieves jumped into Mountain View and ransacked the place, and the only thing they took were the Apple products. So that's got to really hurt as well.
That is the best bit of that story, is that the reporting, it was like, you know, two little paragraphs of like, you know, the Microsoft campus got broken into, but the very, very last sentence I think of the story was, no Microsoft products were stolen.
But the iPads went.
You know, they got away with six iPads, valued at blah, blah, whatever, and, you know, whatever happened with the... And then the very last bit says, no Microsoft products were stolen.
Yeah, and this is where the thieves get home and go, oh, they're full of confidential Microsoft documents. I thought they'd be worth something. Thank you very much. I'll be here in a week. Interesting articles. I mean, for a start, I thought there was... CES came out with a few little... titbits, tasters. I mean, Paul Kent's got to be jumping up and down, because you really want these kind of products launched at Macworld, iWorld, and they haven't. They've come out at CES. Griffin came out with a family charger pack, which I got to say, I instantly thought of Don when I saw that.
I saw your tweet, thank you very much. Don will get five of yourself.
Well, at least I didn't give you the doorstop one like Neighbour did. No, I thought that was an interesting, because one of the things I've got is I've got an iPad mini, I've got two iPads, and I've got two iPhones around the house for me and the wife, and we could really do with it. And the thing that was nice with it was USB, and you didn't have to have lightning with it. You could have mixed up your connectors. Anyone else like that? Because I did.
I think it looks good. They did have, Belkin did just a unit for two for an iPad and an iPhone a while ago, and then they suddenly just stopped selling them, and you couldn't get them for love of the money. So it's nice to see they've got. I think this is better because you can have, you know, multiple. If you have multiple devices,
I mean, the only thing that made me think that is that's got to be effectively that's a USB hub with a toast rack on it, and it's got to be pushing out enough power though, because if you've got two or three iPads on there, they're going to be sapping 10 watts a piece.
Yeah,
that would be the only provision. I mean, if that's mains powered, then it's not going to have a problem. But if that's not mains powered, that's coming off your computer via a USB cable, is it going to get enough power?
I think it's standalone, isn't it?
Right.
I think it's just a charging station. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that each port can give it the full charge.
It's a dish dying rack, says Tom. Thank you, mate. They also came out...
Remember that German guy, right?
For which German guy?
That commercial that... Because I think it was a German commercial, might have been the Netherlands or something like that, where the family gives the father the iPad for Christmas. Yeah, and right. The woman shows up, you know, after Christmas, and he's in the kitchen cooking, chopping up stuff, and he slides the whatever he's chopping off the thing, and it turns out to be the iPad, and he rinses it off and puts it in the dish rack.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
You
guys didn't see that video?
No, I saw it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They also came out with a point-of-sale thing that fits the iPad, which, again, looks rather nice. If they've done the software that goes along with that, then great. They've left the home button exposed, though, so you can see a few mischievous people pressing that one. And they also changed their dock to lightning connector instead of it being 30-pin connector. But there was a few complaints about that on the story, that's all. So Griffin came out with stuff, but that was pretty much it, really.
I learned something about the iPad the other day.
Go ahead, Will, please tell us.
Which I never even knew it was there. You know, you were saying that they've left the home button exposed and somebody could press it. Well, if you go into system settings, I can't quite remember where it is, you can lock down your iPad or iPhone to a single application, and you can't get out of that without a PIN code.
No. Oh.
Did you know that?
No, I did not. You need to find that for us before the end of the show.
That new assistive mode that they did. It's part of the accessibility options.
Yeah.
You can also define specific areas within an app that are the only places that you can click. So you can draw little boxes and areas to say you can click here but not here. And it's for people who have motion disabilities and things like that. But you can use it, obviously, for other great things, putting it into kiosk mode and doing all sorts of stuff.
But it is. I mean, it does make it's perfect for kiosk stuff, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Guided access, it's called. Just looked it up.
That's right.
Yeah, Winrider in the chat has just jumped in with guided access. So, excellent.
Didn't you know that, Don? Don, didn't you know that?
If you look back to my iOS 6 show from about 3 months ago, I think you'll find it.
The one that you duplicated, Will, and mercilessly sold as your own, remember?
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I've covered it in the show, so yeah, I was aware of it.
Now, Kelly, you've done the 2R Awards.
Yes, we did.
And it was quite interesting. One of our own did really, really well. Alfred App, which is developed here in Cambridge by Vera Pepperell, and it's the best application on the planet for the Mac. And if you haven't got it, you're stupid.
There's a new one coming out as well.
Really?
Version 2, yeah. It's Andrew. Andrew's the developer. I think Vera is the... is his wife who does all the marketing stuff. But Andrew's been dropping sneak peeks at the new... He's completely rewritten it, basically.
Oh, nice.
Wow. The last 6 months rewriting it from scratch. So that's looking really good.
It's kind of like Spotlight, but it works instead.
Yeah, it's a good alternative to LaunchBar.
You can operate... You can perform actions against whatever your search result is. That's the thing that makes it better, even better than Spotlight, is that... You know, once you locate the application, you can open it. Once you locate the file, you can modify it in some way. So that's what's cool about Alfred.
If you haven't got it, go to Alfred App and get it, because it's brilliant.
So if you have it and don't use it, are you only slightly dense, or are you still stupid?
You just haven't got around to it yet. That's fine. but possessing it on your hard drive is enough to keep the stupid demons away.
Okay.
Vera was very lovely. Yes, when they were started, Alfred, she donated £100 to my 24-hour Tesco marathon.
Oh, great.
Nice.
We like Vera.
Shopping in Tesco for 24 hours?
No, I had to hide in our 24-hour Tesco for 24 hours for children in need.
Why?
Why? Why? Yes.
For children in need, just had to start it at 7 in the morning and had to just stay in there for 24 hours till 7 the next morning. But if the Tesco staff discovered me, then I had to leave. So it was basically just see how long I could evade detection.
You should have just got a job there. And then you got paid as well.
Have you got skills in being evaded in Tesco? I mean, what's the backstory?
Well, I was there till 1 o'clock in the morning.
His family wouldn't eat if he hadn't.
I was there all 7 o'clock in the morning, all day till 7 in the evening, and then I was there. They caught me by the magazine rack at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh. Are you talking about store security?
Yeah. Somewhere. She, the security guard came up to me and she said, "We've been following you on the cameras. You've been in here for a couple of hours." And I said, "I've got news for you. I've been in here since 7 o'clock this morning."
Visions of one of those big pyramids of bean tins and hollowed out.
So you did a sponsored stay in Tesco.
Yeah, and people would. It was when Twitter was newer, and people were tweeting me, and people would tweet me and tell me to go and take a photograph of an item, find the cheapest item for how much this cost, and I would photograph it and tweet it, and they would donate to my thing for children in need, and I raised over £1,000.
Good wow. lad. Mm. Well done, mate. That's we like great. That. We like that lots. Now then, we've had a suggestion from one of the listeners, Drew, the Drew, on Twitter, who Andrew knows very well as well. And he's come up with a new feature on the show which we should have, which is called
oh God.
Which is called No Shite Allowed.
Oh, that's better than I was expecting, man, to be honest.
And but I like it, actually. It's basically each week we should take three ideas from listeners or from the panel of things that Apple should do that would be far better than the crap that they currently shovel. And his suggestion to start us off this week is he wants a developer to do a Kickstarter project with him, where I think he's just going to get the money. I don't think he's going to do any of the development, though, which is... which is something that he's called groupware, and he wants groupware to replace iCal, Finder, and iCal, Mail App, and Contacts. So he wants a group application to do that, and he thinks if that was started as a Kickstarter project, then it would get an absolute load of money. Because he says, why don't you launch that this afternoon? I said, well, I say it most weeks. There's got to be a replacement out for those that's a unified app rather than all three. Mm. What do you reckon? Is that a goer?
I like mail, contact, and calendars.
Yeah, but you haven't opened Alfred app, mate, so just be careful. Just be
and
careful.
Actually, to be honest, I use BusyCal for my calendar, so. Yeah.
But there's nothing Busy that does all
weird,
three,
isn't it?
Is
because
there?
Basically, it's exactly the same as iCal.
Yeah, in some ways, in other ways not. But
yeah, in other ways, it takes a pile of money off you.
Well, I got it back when I wanted to be able to share calendars over my network, and it was much better for that. Now that things have gone all IMAP based, it's become a little bit different, but still a great app. I'm also using Fantastical, so I guess maybe that's a good example of this problem, right? I've got three different calendars that I'm dealing with.
And it's yeah, but we've all got three different calendars, trust me.
It does, but there isn't, this is the point. I mean, the chat room's gone off on one saying, replace contacts with CoBook, replace podcasts app with Downcast, and that kind of stuff. But there isn't a unified suite of applications which adequately deals with mail, contacts, and they're all interrelated. They shouldn't.
You're
they
not should going to count Outlook?
Outlook for Mac? You're having a laugh.
Outlook? Okay.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
Oh, finally. God, I thought you, based on the other two facts, I thought you were serious. No.
It's not great, but the latest version of Outlook sucks dramatically less than previous versions. I'm not going to say it's great, but it is certainly less bad.
Thus, the Kickstarter project, right? Because the best thing we can say about a unified app is... this one doesn't
isn't Outlook
as much as it always has.
Outlook Outlook in some respects was better, I think, than Mail. It certainly was.
No,
Mail's got better in the last. No, Mail's got a lot better in the last iteration, I grant you. But
yeah, I think since the
Lotus Notes, that's what we need.
Lotus Notes.
But actually, Batwitch typed it wrong, and she's put Louts. For Apple instead of Lotus. We need Louts. That's the new application.
There it is, right there. Louts.
All your anti-contacts are in there.
The iLouts.
iLouts.
All the people that you never want to talk to, that's all you track. Oh, HyperCard.
What about HyperCard? Oh, steady on, girl. What's HyperCard?
Sorry. Oh, I miss HyperCard.
Oh, my gosh.
Adam, you remember HyperCard, right?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, HyperCard. HyperCard was really the point where I decided I could be a power nerd, because with HyperCard I was able to build things that actually were, I don't know how much you guys remember about HyperCard. It was like sort of like a programming language, but sort of like a database, but you could make different things do stuff based on the way the card was built. And it was really a good way to get people interested in programming or in being able to build something that did exactly what they wanted instead of having to, like Mail, get an app that did most of what you needed that would get it done but still was somehow lacking. And HyperCard was awesome. HyperCard is also a classic application. I'm not even sure it ran in OS 9. And so, of course, now it's eventually gone. I'm very sad about that. Part of... I'm not going to remember. Run Rev software. They make a software package called Live Code, and Live Code creates applications. So I saw a demo of the software at MacTech last year, and you can go from zero to functioning app in 3 minutes. I watched him do a basic demo on the calendar of it, and it was based on cards. And he said, open a card, and then you create a new card, and then you create a new card. And I said, when you did that, it reminded me of HyperCard. And he said, it should. And you can use old HyperCard stacks. You can open those within the Live Code application, which, of course, I was very excited about. So it's an old, random... kind of super nerd thing, but I really liked it. It was a lot of fun to play with, and I'm sad that there's not an equivalent in some fashion, whether it's on the Mac or on the iPad or on the iPhone. It would really be neat if that was something we could continue to use, because HyperCard was great.
A really basic way for people to who've never seen it or don't understand it to understand it is it sort of worked like web pages before there was an internet. So it was like locally you'd have stacks of pages essentially, and you could put hyperlinks and linked information. So there was a lot of interactive kind of things, and each bit of content was kind of on its own card, which you kind of think of like a page. And then there was little widgets that you could hook up, like buttons, and of course there was scripting, so very similar to like JavaScript now. So you could very easily and without having to know kind of programming, program these interactive applications basically for your system. But it worked in the simple principle of you had bits of information on cards. So you could write, you know, say a real simple little quiz application or an interactive kind of book or encyclopedia, or, you know, you could do a million things with it, but that was the basics of it.
So it's kind of, is it DBase meets Automator a little bit?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to describe without really knowing it. The, you know, it feels a lot like web pages do now, you know, where there's a lot of interactivity and you can write web apps. It was like web apps for the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on your awards, Kelly, we got Alfred App, but one thing that we also got was Final Cut Pro was the best video application for the Mac, which I think Ian Mitchell, who's in the chat room, would take issue with. He says Avid is definitely way better.
Now, I will point out that these were not staff picks.
No, these were...
This was opened up to readers, so this is what people voted on. So,
punter like, picks, sorry.
The best game in both platforms ended up being Angry Birds Star Wars. As much as everybody seems to hate it, the best Mac music app was iTunes 11.
My question was, based on the apps, because I knew it was reader recommended, was... Mm-hmm. Is that really the barometer of the average Mac user out there? Because I can't believe that anyone who's used Mac for more than sort of 3 to 5 years would ever pick iTunes as being the best music application.
What do you mean 3 to 5 years? Three to five hours?
5 weeks, even. You know, like, to actually spend enough time with it to go, wow, here's all the ways it sucks. We need something else. Just to talk about another old school app, I really miss Audion every time I launch iTunes. It makes me very sad that it doesn't exist anymore. I think it's because there's not an equivalent as far as music management on your computer that is easy. I think the thing about iTunes is that everybody's sort of used to it. I think that's part of why, because it was 81% of votes. So I think if it's just a matter of I want to launch this program that will play all my MP3s, since a lot of people buy a lot of stuff out of iTunes, that's where they go. They don't do a lot of extra gyration in order to get to play music in other applications. So I think that might be why.
Mm.
But there were only basically two candidates, because 81% people chose iTunes, 11% chose Spotify. So that's 92% of all the voting was those two applications.
The so, one,
And who chose Hypercard? I've got lost with the Hypercard thing.
No, no,
you have a stack that plays MP3s, really.
No one chose HyperCard. The one that awesome. Got me as well was the best iPhone accessory was the 30-pin to Lightning connector. And that device, I mean, that one piece of hardware has always puzzled me because it costs $30 to buy something that a $15 cable would replace anyway.
It's only from Apple. You can buy them for about $2 from other places.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is, why would Apple... It's a silly thing to have, and they voted it the best accessory for the iPhone.
It's because we purchased all of this stuff, you know, all the stuff that we have to use the adapter for, so without that adapter, we can't use it. So really, it is the best thing to come along so we could still use our old crap.
No, it doesn't go the other way around. It goes from 30-pin to Lightning. Well, if you bought the USB cable for the Lightning with the Lightning end on it, it's only $15, and it does the same thing.
But isn't it the adapter? I mean, like, say you've got
a system.
Say you've got a Bose system, it's 30-pin, but you go 30-pin to Lightning, so you got a new iPhone 5, you need to use it for that.
But it only goes that one way on one thing for one device. It's kind of pointless replacing the cables with it. Anyway, there we go. I think it was a crap choice. I thought some of the choices were just mystifying, Kelly. Dropbox is the best iPhone application for productivity.
Well, and on the Mac side, the best... Which one was...
Donald will be pleased with this.
Medium one for something, and I don't remember what it was. Best social networking app on the Mac is Aidium.
The one with the duck. Yes.
Green duck.
That's right.
I couldn't believe, because I always feel like I'm the only person who's using it, because I never know anybody who is also using it.
No one admits they're using it.
Yeah, and I have admitted it forever. It's like one of the longest running OS X applications I probably have on my computer. Now, does anybody contact me on all those other networks anymore? Not so much. But I much prefer it to a lot of others.
Have you still got ICQ?
Oh, I do. Yes. I can even tell you the number. But I love it because it's skinnable, so I can make it very small and compact and out of the way. And I can have all different chats going in one window, because I generally am on a 13-inch screen with no external monitor. So I need all the room that I can get. So having it be really unobtrusive is very happy making for me. So I like that a lot.
Best Mac peripheral, Don's going to be happy about this one, is the little C thing. The Thunderbolt C.
Oh.
The Thunderbolt little big disc.
Big disc thingy, yes. Now, have you got one of these, haven't you, Don?
I have indeed. Yeah, I've just been using it this afternoon, actually, to transfer some stuff across to a new system. It works really, really well. It's great. Great little...
Go on, Don. Is it one or is it 100?
Hey?
No, one or 100. How many have you got?
Just the one.
Okay.
Now, when I read that and looked at it, I thought, well, okay, it's interesting that the best Mac peripheral is a Thunderbolt, but USB 3 is getting an upgrade, according to the little keynote that came out this week. And based on the fact there's so few devices out there for Thunderbolt, I thought the upgrade to 3 could be the VHS beta death knell, surely.
Ugh. When I heard that USB 3, and I've had a couple of people email me to tell me they experienced this, especially with external hard drives, knocks out your wireless. That's just, who can manage that? You know, if it's too close to your antennas, it'll knock out your Bluetooth and your Wi-Fi signal.
Wow. USB 3 will.
The solution is get a longer cable and move your drives further away. But
that.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Apple has a support article that mentions it, and it's in a white paper from Intel. It's a known thing with USB 3 that it can cause interference with wireless and Bluetooth signals for the external hard drives specifically.
Good God.
Poor OWC, sorry, last thing. Poor OWC, you know, they have that stackable mini drive.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
They have a USB 3 version.
Oh, no.
And you can't stack it on your mini, and that's the people who emailed me, the one guy that emailed me, that was his exact problem. And they have this they have this video on how you can pull apart your Mini and then put extra shielding in there to protect it. But it's just a mess.
Wow.
Yeah. Avoiding as well.
The award I was most pleased by on the Mac side was that the best Mac accessory, not peripheral, but accessory, was voted to be the Apple TV.
No, I don't get that either. I've got a picture ready, you see, because I didn't get it. That's not an accessory for the Mac.
Well, I think it's AirPlay and home sharing. I can play iTunes through the big speakers in the living room. I can play whatever I want out of my iTunes library that way. If you have a more recent computer, you can use the AirPlay video mirroring to the other to the TV if that's what you want to do. So I think that's probably why. And I think it's just people finally getting to the utility of AirPlay. And I'm hoping that if enough community voted sorts of things end up giving Apple TV more awards, maybe it'll stop being a hobby. And maybe if that happens and Apple stops calling it a hobby and starts treating it like a serious piece of tech that they offer, then maybe we would stop getting Apple television rumors. That's my hope. But, you know, a girl can dream.
It is a standalone device, though, isn't it? I mean, it's not.
It is.
It's a device, but I can see it as an accessory because, I mean, face it, we all have an Apple TV, I think. All of us do. Will, you've got one, right?
Oh, yes, I love it. Brilliant.
Exactly. And it is kind of that accessory that you need, that you purchased all this stuff on iTunes. You spent $1.5 million through Apple, and they love you to death. But now you're tied to your computer. What do you need? You need that little accessory so you could play all that $1.5 million stuff on your television or AirPlay it from your iPhone or vice versa. And I can see that. I mean, because I use it all the time. And I don't treat it as a product. I treat it as an extension of what my Mac is or iPhone.
I'd say it's an extension of what the cloud is more really, isn't it? Because you can use it with iPhone, an iPad, a Mac, whatever. It's a cloud extension.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. So we've noticed that since Don's probably in on this because you need a newer Mac, and I'm sure Don's oldest Mac qualifies, but just the AirPlay from the screen of the Mac onto the Apple TV, onto the TV, once you've done it a couple of times and gone, oh, that's really quite flexible. And it's really interesting to be sat, you know, doing something and just go, oh, I need to see this, bing it onto the TV screen. Look at this, everyone. Mm-hmm. It's one of those features you think, oh, how interesting and useful can that be? And it turns out to be loads interesting and very. Mm-hmm.
Do you find it weird, though, that if I'm in the same room as the telly is and I stream from my Mac onto the telly, that's okay. But if you take your Mac upstairs and stream to the telly, that seems a bit strange. It's like witchcraft or something, isn't it? Doesn't it confuse you? It does me. I'm not happy about it at all. I said, is that word then? It's not even in the same room. And it's doing it.
Okay, well.
Amazing. Can do it from the office at the bottom of the garden to the TV.
In the house.
It's odd, isn't it? That's not right, is it?
Burn the witch.
Well, I do it. I do it loads, though. I mean, I've got the laptop in here, and it's linked to the disc when it's at home that does the iTunes. And I come in here and start something up, and then just flick it through AirPlay out to the main TV in the lounge, and then go back and sit down and watch it.
I'll tell you the other thing I've done, which I still can't get my head around. What do you call it? Log me in. So I've got log me in on a studio Mac, right? And I've pointed that at the door, and I can go home, and I can see what's going on in the studio when I'm not even there.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing.
When I'm in ultimate lazy boy mode, I've got the iMac in the office. If I'm doing an install on a customer's computer, I put it in front of the iMac in the office, and then I'm in the house down at the bottom, the other end of the garden, and I just screen share into the Mac, turn the screen camera on the Mac on, and look at what the install on the computer on the desk is doing.
I think that just blows me away. It does. All these young people don't appreciate. I don't think
had to walk over to a computer, use it. that's
one place at a time.
It's a lost art. I mean, I give tech support to my mother because she's on her Mac that's on our five things, and I go up there with screen share and talk her through stuff, or I go and just physically do stuff on a computer to stop her getting upset with it. And it's great. I love it. The one thing that pisses me off is I own, according to my Mac profile, 12 Macs. But I can't have that many on at once. I can only have 5, which pisses me off no end. I don't want to share the apps. I just want to be able to use them properly. And it's they need to up their limit. There we go. There was an article this week that said, it was quite interesting, it said that Apple should give up making iOS applications. And when I read it, I just thought, that's stupid, don't be silly. But then I read through the article, and it makes an awful lot of sense. It's talking about the fact that Apple, because they make some things that have got core functionality, it prevents other applications getting through the store. And also, because there's certain applications which are sitting there, things like weather and so on, people don't go and buy other competing applications that actually do the job far better, and they never expand their horizons. And I thought that was quite interesting, that should Apple stop making iOS apps?
Why have you selected Nairobi?
I didn't. It was the picture that came on the story. It's just, I stole the picture from the story, Will. I used a screen capture, then I dragged it into Mac, into the Wirecast application, and then I'm broadcasting it now through Justin TV to all the people that sat in the chat room. Truly, truly amazing.
Well, the people in Nairobi will be happy, won't they? Oh, what's going on?
Yeah, and our Nairobi listeners have already written in. There's messages saying how happy they are.
They're going to struggle on Wednesday. It's thunderstorms. Look at that. I'm not going to Nairobi on Wednesday. I'll tell you
I've
that.
Got to say, I hadn't even looked at the weather. But yes, Wednesday is going to be 79. It's going to be stinking hot, and it's going to be pissing down with rain and snow. And you're under lightning. So bad luck, Nairobi.
I think we have to give Johnny a shot at these apps before we go this far. But I see the point. I mean, I get the point that he's trying to make, that there are some other great apps out there. Mm-hmm. But, you know... I want to see what's going to happen now that Jonathan Ives is in charge of that user interface stuff, because a lot of the complaints that I think people levy are around just the user interface more than anything. You know, it's not like the apps aren't functional. I mean, it gives you the weather if you want the weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to remember as well that these were the original apps that came out on the iPhone. You know, a lot of them were, you know, before we had third-party apps being developed. You know, they were the actual apps that we had on the iPhone. And very much Apple sort of always took the stance as, you know, this is how you would create an app. I mean, if you look still at some of the other apps like GarageBand for iOS, that's a fantastic application. They're really, really sophisticated and makes great use of the user interface. And there's no real barrier now. There used to be in the early days that they used to reject apps based on, you know, duplicate functionality, but I don't think that's, you know, you can make an app on anything that Apple does. You can actually create an app that does if you want.
Well, do they do that? I mean, you're an expert on rejected apps.
Yeah, Tom. No, I'm pretty sure.
Sorry, mate.
They do. Okay.
Well, I think what they need to do, I mean, fine then, I don't think they should stop making apps. They can make apps. They make the platform. They're going to keep making apps. What they should do is, if I find a weather app that I like better than their iOS app, I should have the right to remove their iOS app, because I don't want a page full of weather apps and still have the core functioning app or the default one. That I wish they would give us the, you know, it's just like getting rid of Newsstand if you don't use it, or getting rid of, I don't know, something that you just don't like on their Stocks. I don't use Stocks. I'd love to remove it. These kind of things I wish they would allow us to do.
And allow the API to change the default app for items, so that if you're using a different email app or something, that you, when you click on something, you can you can follow that through.
So, I mean, the story says that they shouldn't make iOS applications, but actually, what we're saying is they shouldn't be so draconian, either in A, being restrictive on applications that duplicate functionality. And I agree entirely with Kyle there. There's a lot of applications. I really want it to go away. I just want it to just bugger off. And it you can't remove it. You are not allowed to remove Stocks. It has to just go in a folder somewhere off on the side. And that's the end of it. I understand that really is a pain in the ass.
The Apple closed ecosystem, and you understand it. But there's, I mean, surely there is no benefit to Apple. You've bought the phone, you've bought the iOS device, the iPad and things, you're in the ecosystem. You know, if a developer comes along and produces an app that does what Apple's app does, but better, I mean, then Apple aren't charging you for the app, they're not losing any revenue. What's the, why not?
I mean, is there a, I don't know that there is a replacement application for the mail app. Is there? I mean, you can get Sparrow.
And there's a few
on iOS. There's an iOS for Sparrow. I knew there's one on the desktop,
but the iPhone was awesome.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, Gmail doesn't really kind of duplicate the functionality of a
No, the Gmail's not very good, I mean, it's all right, I guess. What I hate about the Gmail lately is with the latest update is it cuts off your email, your message in your email. It's just like it gets to a certain point and you try to turn the phone, then you can read a little bit more of it. And if it keeps going along, then I don't know, I end up using the default mail app anyways just so I can read the damn thing.
Mm-hmm. I've got a folder called Supernatural on my iPhone and another one called Pagan. I wonder how many people have got that. I reckon if I lost my phone and somebody opened it up, scare them a little bit, wouldn't it?
it may well do, Will, yes.
You wonder who owned that iPhone.
Either that or they'll open it and go, oh, look, I've got Will Green's phone.
You know, something about Will, I've noticed Will has constantly looked puzzled for the last 15 minutes.
Well, I've got to say, there's a little fault going on somewhere technically in the background, which isn't unheard of, but the frame at which it's decided to freeze, Will, is apt entirely.
I mean, it's not frozen. I say I've won the keeping still competition.
Your ventriloquist lessons are really coming on, mate. I haven't seen your lips move once.
Could you Photoshop some of the wrinkles out and stuff like that if it's going to be on this one for a while?
If I was bothered, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But not in the next 10 minutes before we finish off the show, no.
You could put a lollipop in my mouth or something.
I could put a lot more in your mouth, mate.
That was the point of the show where he went, Hypercard?
Hypercard, what?
No, I do know about Hypercard. If you're interested in Hypercard, the wonderful If Monks Had Macs was based on Hypercard, which is... the first multimedia application ever in the world. Brilliant. And it was a HyperCard stack, which is what they used to call them, and Bill somebody, anybody help me out, who created HyperCard?
It's your story, mate. Go on.
Go on. Atkinson, right?
That's a man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he wrote, because I got to know the guy who wrote If Monks Had Macs, and Bill Atkinson sent him an email saying that's my favourite HyperCard stack I've ever seen. It's a wonderful application, If Monks Had Macs, but you'll need to run it on it's a PowerPC application, so it's not so good on Mountain Lion. In fact, it doesn't work at all.
And Myst was also a HyperCard stack initially. Each of the ages, I think they were, was a its own HyperCard stack when they first released Myst. One of the big games on Mac OS back in the day. Yeah.
I released Myst.
Now you can run it on your iPhone for like $5. It's crazy.
I think I'm probably one of the older ones in this group here, and you're the lot that are all doing, I remember when.
Wasn't there, back in the System 7 days, wasn't there an adult quotey fingers game, which was HyperCard as well?
I'm sure there was.
Uh-huh.
Sure, there was I can't remember the name of it, but there was...
Strip HyperCard.
No, my Google foo's not going well quickly on this, but there was definitely an adult game.
Good.
Right, let's all Google adult hyper game.
Sort
of
thing.
No.
And make sure you do it in quotes.
Adult.
My Google search has gone badly wrong now. Sorry.
Yeah, you've just got a load of images up that you can't get through in time and they've distracted you.
Good job I've got my iCloud Safari tabs thing switched off.
The wonderful thing about the internet and stuff like that is everything's online now. If you die, you're quite happy because you haven't got a porno stash hid anywhere, so it doesn't matter. There's a wonderful level of freedom to it. You think so?
Well, thanks for this week's tip, Will.
There's been a picture going around on Facebook of one of those medic alert bracelets, but instead of saying like diabetes or penicillin allergy, it says delete my browser history.
You've got to. There's got to be a. I mean, because seriously, if you died, there's nowhere to you know, like, because I mean, the one thing that I'm thinking of. He's like old girlfriends on Facebook that you still keep in touch with. So it's like you can't really say to your wife, and if I pop my clogs, make sure that you send a message to Rachel and to I've done nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong. You know, I just keep in touch. It's just Christmas cards. But then you've got like a list of 100 girls that you went to school with or something who aren't going to know that you're dead.
You could do that would be really good, a meetup thing. Like, so you could pick a random person who does, you don't know them and they don't know you.
Are you looking for a divorce, Will?
No. What I'm saying is then when you die, you'd have to obviously text them before you're about to kick it, and then they could be tasked to go into your Facebook and delete all of these ex-girlfriends you're talking to. What do you think?
I think that's great. Are you, what, like a service?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. This, what? Yeah. What should we call it? Arse book. I don't know. Something that's anti Facebook. Here's your password that you keep updating, and then you go in and you delete all of the old ex-girlfriends off your Facebook profile. And then when there's nothing left, they pass the password on to your wife so she can go through it.
I haven't got many, if I'm honest. I was never very good at that sort of stuff at school. In fact, I don't think I got any on my Facebook thing. I struggle with Facebook full stop. It's all a bit confusing, isn't it? So, I've got no worries.
But you've just got that enormous stash of porn up in the internet somewhere. There's gigabytes, petabytes of porn. And somewhere there's a Will Green login.
There's pictures of me. It doesn't matter. Go on.
Oh, wait, hang on. What's this?
You can't stop there.
What do I need to put into the search for these then, Will?
No. Let's move on.
Green book. It's got, is the suggestion from the chat room. Bum book. Boob, bum book. Boob book. Two face book. Arsehole book. And porninthecloud.com. I'm going to see if that's available on UK2.
Julia, thank you for that.
Porninthecloud.com. There we go. It's available. Available. Porn in the cloud. There you go, Will. So your problems are solved.
I haven't got any problems. I was saying, it's wonderful. The internet's a wonderful thing.
Well, no, I mean, seriously, though, because you've got a passion for buying up website names that would be useful, Pipe Smoker of the Year, etc. There you go. You've got porninthecloud.com is available for you.
Yeah.
Go buy it on UK2, mate.
I've never done anything with the EDAM project. I'm still waiting for that somebody to give me $1 million for it. But it hasn't happened yet.
Bad luck, mate. A last story. Because it's not been really that much story this week, I lied at the start, is that there is suggestions that there may be a mini iPhone on the way. It would help Apple close the gap on Samsung if they did bring out a mini iPhone and mini. We've got some rumours, guys. Come on, there's got to be a keynote.
What gap are they closing exactly?
Well, I don't know. I just found the story and I thought there's sod all else to talk about.
We've had this. There's been a bit of throwdown on this in the Two Wah Back channel, and the reason for this is because in the US, yes,
I went to throwdown in the Two Wah Back channel.
Yes, no, that's not code.
It's a hyper card.
Hyper cards. But really, it's because we are international, and so the people in America kind of went, "Why does Apple need to make a cheaper phone? What's cheaper than free? You can get a phone for free. What's less than that?" You know, and the rest of the world said, "Ah, no, contraire, mon frère. Here's the scoop: right. Emerging markets, pay as you go." And an unsubsidized iPhone, which is not the manner to which the U.S. has become accustomed, that ain't cheap, yo. And so that's been the sticking
when did you
point.
Start selling meth?
Yo.
No.
Go ahead. Sorry, Kelly.
Because, yeah, do you really want to know how much Jay-Z is in my playlist right now? Because I'll totally tell you.
A lot, I'm guessing, based on what
it's
you...
It's a lot.
I haven't understood a word you've said in the last 5 minutes.
No. Au contraire.
Yeah, okay, that's French. I got that.
Okay.
I got
that. So, there's been disagreement because in emerging markets, the pay-as-you-go thing, some people have theorized, this wasn't part of the 2Watch channel, but what I've read elsewhere, some people have theorized that this is why Samsung is still beating Apple in sales volume, straight volume, is because they basically give them away unsubsidized very, very cheaply in emerging markets. And in a lot of countries where even reliable access to electricity is uncommon, a lot of people will still have a smartphone but may have never even seen a computer ever in their lives. But they have email, They can call other people. They can, you know, interact with folks online, play games, whatever, because they've got this little, this phone in their pocket that is, you know, a computer. So that has been part of what has made the debate sort of go back and forth. Quite honestly, I'm bored of any headline that starts Apple should.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's an interesting one. I thought I saw a tweet from Schiller that said Apple's not going to go down that route.
Yeah. Well, no, I tweeted out one too, yeah, and I was going to say they've denied that they're considering to increase its market share by beating competitors with a cheaper iPhone. They just, I think their quote was like, Samsung does that, we don't.
Yeah. Well, they're absolutely, there's a switch. they're absolutely going to do it until they do it, just like the iPad Mini.
Yeah.
Just the MacBook Air. Well, remember all the hand-waving...
We're not doing that.
Apple should make a netbook. If Apple doesn't make a netbook, they are doomed. Remember that? And then they did it.
MacBook Air. Yeah.
Yeah, they came out with the MacBook Air instead. Right, which is not a netbook. It's just a Mac with better battery life, no optical drive. So
just like the 7-inch, the Mac Mini is not a 7-inch iPad. Or the iPad Mini, excuse me.
Yeah,
the
Mac Mini is not
an iPad. Well, I see that is the one that surprised me. I've got to agree with Adam there, because I would have said that the thing was, it's never going to happen. But actually, the thought process is that that was the right thing to do. The market was ready for it, because they're selling in the bucket load, and still selling. They're still, you know, you can't just walk into an Apple store and take your pick. You know, there's limit options available for them, and it's it was a good call that the market wanted it, and then they've still got that. Well, the market wanted it, and we responded to the market. We didn't go on based what journalists said. But I just don't see that Apple give a stuff about making any cheap products. Because if you look at the iPad Mini is still overpriced for what it is in comparison to the rest of the market. They don't care. They're not worried about.
I don't think it's overpriced for what it is.
But what I'm saying is, in its competitive market for other 7 inches,
for sure.
Yeah, it's way ahead of all the others in the same market.
But again, it's a premium.
And Apple's always been a premium product maker.
And it's not going to change for a phone. Sorry, go ahead, Don.
Yeah, well, Phil Schiller, I mean, he was interviewed over in China. I think him and Tim Cook went over to China to discuss things. And they actually did an interview the day after all these reports about Apple coming out with a cheap phone. I think that the thing they were trying to stress is that, you know, we don't do cheap. He didn't say we don't do cheaper. But they said, you know, we don't do cheap. We always, you know, look at the best product available at the price point. So he sort of put the kibosh on that particular rumor that was going on. But he hasn't really stopped and said that we will never bring out, you know, a smaller or a different type of iPhone to the one they already have. It just might be, you know, a different spec or built to a different standard. Mm. But it's not going to be cheap and cheerful. It will be a good product, but, you know, aimed at a specific target.
The number of people in the chat room who are up for Picky Bastard of the Afternoon Award is big, but I think Wired for Flights won it with, actually, it's 8 inches. Sorry, Adam.
I think their strategy works now. I mean, the new phone's out, it's 4-inch, or you can get the other one for $99, or you can get the other one for free, you know, on contract or whatever. And the same thing happens in the world markets. I mean, even over here right now, you can get iPhone 4S much, much cheaper, much, much cheaper. And in some cases, you can get it free on contract also. So I don't see them doing this for, I don't see them doing it, honestly.
Yeah, someone nailed it I can't remember who it was, because I'd love to credit them, but I think they nailed it with the comment that Apple don't go after market share, they go after profit share.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
yeah, that was me, that was done.
True.
Is that you, was it, Will?
Yeah, yeah. I did that.
Nice one.
That's right.
It really nails it, because, you know, it's not necessarily, I mean, the iPhone might necessarily be the most, you know, the highest selling phone in the market, but, you know, they got like 70% of the profit or whatever. And it's the same in the computer space as well. So, you know, that's what they go for, the market share. Profit share.
Yes.
I think that everyone should know that the adult game is called Mac Playmate.
Right. That's why you went quiet.
It was marketed as black and white pornographic game. Excessive use of this program can lead to blindness or insanity. Use at your own risk.
And hairy palms?
And it's no better. So that's why Dr. Happy Matt went quiet, and he's only currently showing himself from the chest up. because the black and white HyperCard game was really, really riveting.
Oh, they did a colour version. Mac Playmate 2.
Cool.
Awesome. To be fair, we never see full body.
I've got to take the camera off me so I can Google that.
Oh,
Mac Playmate 2. I'm probably guessing that the actual images for Mac Playmate 2, I can probably show on screen without too much. Oh, no, I can't.
Yes, you can. It's suitable for work.
It's suitable for work. Oh, good.
I promise you that the image that I've got up is not suitable for work, but whether it's real or not, I don't know.
Oh, it's all just a kind of like really bizarre bitmap, 1980s style bitmap drawings.
It's awful. It's truly awful. And it's also it's also coughed up Virtual Valerie. I hate to think what she was up to.
Well, welcome to the Mac Show, people, where there's no Apple news, but there's always porn.
Virtual Valerie. That could be the title as well. Good grief.
They're a bit rude, aren't they? Some of them, no?
I mean, there's lots.
Have you seen that one?
There's a lot of suggestions there there's one that's like a Boxing Elena thing.
Have you seen the toy box?
The Boxing Elena one's got like a leg missing.
Yes.
But anyway, moving on.
The Mighty Moe Throbber. The Beat Plunger.
No, let's move it on.
Aim Explorer.
Stop talking porn while I do the sponsors advert.
Well, I didn't bring it up. Don't blame me.
That's a good transition.
Yeah.
There you go.
You like that segue? Stop talking porn while we get to do the sponsors. This podcast is brought to you by UK2.net. Love them to bits. Thank you ever so much. Won't be here anymore. They've put up with so much crap off us. If you want anything for the web, you got to try these people out. A, they're cheap. They're really good cheap. B, they're absolutely brilliant in terms of customer service. And they really look after our listeners. And you guys are looking after them as well. We go away if we don't get this. Skype, if they go, we're screwed. And UK2, if they go, we're screwed. Because we haven't got the money for the bandwidth. 400 quid a month they pick up. Please, please, please go to our website, britishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, go through and look at your account or buy some stuff from them, and then look back on the sponsors page, and there's loads of offer codes. You'll get tons and tons of discount, and you've got to go through our page to give us the kudos. You'll still get, though, if you use the offer code, the offer code is the offer code. But if you go through our webpage, then we get the kudos for sending you in. They look after us, and they're very happy with the relationship, and it's going on for another 18 months now, so at least.
Awesome.
Thank you, UK2. Lost without you. Right, it's time for the cool thing. DMC, what have you got for me?
Right, well, thanks to Kyle, because I was scratching around trying to remember what to do. That thing you tweeted about not an hour ago. I said, oh, yeah, it's a good idea. Popclip. Popclip is a great utility that is for the Mac, and basically it replicates the menu that you get on iOS, but on the Mac. So you can copy and paste just by dragging your mouse and you get this little nice pop-up menu. But it's customizable now, so you can add various extensions in. I think there's about 30 or 40 different extensions that you can add into Popclip to make it really useful to do such things as, copy a piece of text and paste it straight to Evernote or into EnviAlt and all sorts of different services. Well worth checking out. The reason I tweeted about it is that currently it's on sale, so it's only available for 99 cents.
Hey.
64p, is it 69p, whatever, in the UK. But you can get it from the Mac App Store. I think it's on sale for the next couple of days, so even if you get this tomorrow, it still should be on sale. So that's Popclip.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Popclip. Superb. DHM, what have you got for us?
Well, I've got a historically interesting HyperCard adult.
Make sure
that we... Mac Playmate.
God. Go on, mate. What have we got for us?
It's basically slightly selfish because I really, really, really want everyone to download it and buy it so that they'll make another one so that I can go and watch it. And it's released on the 13th through iTunes and is Dread the Movie.
Right.
Which probably nobody went to go and see. But, if you've got any interest in British comics or stuff like that, it's probably the best comic adaption.
Judge Dredd is brilliant.
Other than, did you not go and watch it in the movies? I mean, at the one end, you got Watchmen, which was like a slavish, almost frame-by-frame remake of the book, which kind of missed the point in a massive way and jizzed the ending right up. I've got Judge Dredd, absolutely brilliant. It's just like the body and soul and heart and blood of the comic on screen. It's an awesome movie. Sadly, the 3D bit seems to be missing from it. Brilliant in 3D, but it's going to be brilliant on DVD. And if we all buy it, they'll make another movie.
Okay. Is it worth making another one?
Oh, God, yes. Dread, I mean, it's a fantastic
film. I really like the Stallone Dread. I thought that was pretty good.
No, it wasn't.
It was all right.
Kill him now. Kill him.
No, it was decent watch. It was okay.
This is not a decent watch. This is an awesome movie.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm biased because the first time somebody ever paid me to draw something, it was Judge Dredd. So I have a soft spot for that. So
very good.
Buy it.
We like getting paid.
$9.99 iTunes on Thursday on the 13th.
Excellent. Thank you, mate. Adam, what have you got for us, pal?
I'm going to pick the best game of 2012.
Oh, he stole my pick.
Oh. Shit. Oh.
Scrambling. He set him scrambling.
Hold on. I've downloaded a few apps in the last couple of days. Come back to me and I'll give you a different one.
Okay.
No. He can have it.
Have it. Have it. Have it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Adam.
Oh, I'm not going to steal everybody's pick.
Oh,
I
no.
Oh, you know how I didn't.
I'm just.
No, that's.
Say it again. I've changed my pick. It's hyper porn now. That's my pick.
That's Mr. Nice Guy right there.
Yeah.
Mr. Nice Guy. Well done, Adam.
Give me a couple seconds.
All right, we'll come back to you. Kelly.
I will leave it to Kyle.
So, what, do you want me to come back to you as well?
No, I'm going to leave everybody else's pick was really me and Kyle's pick. So I will leave it to Kyle to use that pick, and I will use this one instead. I picked this up recently because I like to read, and I like Star Wars, so Star Wars books. Hey. So I found this application. It's 99 cents in the App Store.
Can I pause you there just for a second?
Yeah.
Because over Christmas, I've been working, and it's the only way I'm going to get it in, the Star Wars connection. I've been working on a Alec Guinness impression, which is scarily good.
Oh, good. Will, do Alec Guinness for us.
Use the Force, Luke.
It's eerie.
It's good, isn't it?
Has anyone, Will and Kelly, yeah. Have you seen there's a brilliant website called Letters of Note?
Yes.
And they over Christmas, the letter, the diary entry that Alec Guinness wrote when he was offered the part of Obi-Wan.
Go on.
Yes.
It's quite awesome. This letter, him saying, oh, I've been offered this little film something. And then there's the paragraph of him struggling to remember Harrison Ford's name. It's brilliant.
Also, I'm only doing it for the cash. Like, that was the bit. Is he's like, I keep reading the script. They're sending me new versions and it's worse all the time. I just keep thinking of the money.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, he signed up as well, didn't he? He didn't take a flat fee for doing the movie. He took a profit-sharing deal as well because they didn't have much money.
Really?
Yeah, he took a profit-sharing deal on all of the sales of the Star Wars franchise going forward. He made an absolute fucking mint. Yes.
Oh, awesome.
He made an absolute mint from it because they hadn't got any money and he was Alec Guinness, so he was he was effectively Jean-Luc Picard Patrick Stewart of the era. Proper actor, unquote.
He was the only name that anybody recognized when Star Wars first came out because
they couldn't afford him, so he took a profit sharing deal instead.
Yeah, you never see Alec Guinness and Alistair Sim in the same room, do you?
Thanks, Will.
It's always, like, initially when Star Wars first came out, the way people described it was, you know who's in it? Alec Guinness and that guy from American Graffiti. Like, that's how it was described here in the United States, because nobody'd heard of anybody else.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of quality British actors in that as well.
Yes. Over and above him. Here's part of the letter. I just think, thankfully, of the lovely bread, which will keep me going until next April.
I just think, thankfully, of the lovely bread that will keep me going to April. You see?
Not even close, mate.
It's exact, that is. Oh, bloody Christmas. I've been annoying my wife with that impression. I think it's brilliant. I've been doing, I can have a conversation between Alec Guinness and Don.
Go. It's quite good. As long as Don says not a lot.
Hello, this is Don. Hello, Don. I haven't quite got it there. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Not a lot.
Right, next week, we've all got to come back with an Alex Guinness impression that's better than Will's.
You're going to struggle. You're going to struggle with that.
In a week, we'll be able to. Six of us will be able to do a better Alec Guinness impression. I bet you Natco can do a better impression.
Use the force.
He's on next week.
My name's Alec Guinness.
So back to my pick.
Back to your pick. I was just about to say, Kelly, back to your pick. The rest of you shut up while she does a pick, for God's sake.
Star Wars books, there's some that are really awesome, some not so much. But they all sort of, there's different series and they have different timelines. Some happen before the movies we have, some happen after. And we get into things like Leia's great-grandchildren, I think, is where we are in one of the books that's about to come out later this year. So it includes the books and the comics. And so if there's a timeline that you want to dive into or you want to find out more about certain characters, you can use this to track the novels or the graphic novels or you know, individual issues of the comic book if you want to get more interested. There's a couple I would wholeheartedly recommend that you can read that are very self-contained that you don't have to worry about knowing a lot about extended universe, which is what the books tend to be referred to as, is EU. There's a lot of stuff you don't have to know in order to read some of them and have a really good time. So the nice thing about this is that you can use it to track the books that you've read, the books you want to read, what comes next in the timeline if you're trying to go chronologically so you have some idea what's happening. So I like it very much. So I'm going to go with that. It's called Star Wars Books Collector. I put a link in the chat, and it's $1. And it's so far it's been super, super useful because I know I've missed a bunch of the books and I want to be able to go back and pick them up and know where they fall within the timeline of everything. So there it is.
Storm in the chat room just said, did Ewan just shut everyone else up so that Kelly could get a word in edgeways?
Yes, it's a parallel dimension. This is an alternate universe.
She must.
We're all using in-camera technology to hide our evil twin goatees. That's what's happening.
She must. What are you saying about goatees?
It was a Star Trek joke. When they went to the alternate, the parallel universe, all the bad guys had the goatee.
Got you.
Yep. No.
Right. Yeah, thanks, Kelly. back to Adam, because that took a while. Your pick.
I'm going to go. Has anybody picked Foldify?
Oh, you bastard! Oh, I've got a frigging graphic set up for it already. Look, see? You have it, Adam. Go on, you have it. As long as I can have. No, you have it. No, you have Foldify. As long as I can have a non-Mac one. No, have Foldify.
Done. How about hundreds? I'll do hundreds.
Go on then.
Nobody's going to do that?
Go on.
Okay, hundreds. This is a cool multi-touch kind of game. I still haven't quite figured it out. I wasn't going to do this one because I haven't played it too much, but it showed up on the Mac App Store this week. And what's kind of cool about it is basically you have little touch points and you tap on them and they start to grow. So there'll be these little circles on the screen. And the idea is to get the total of all the circles to be 100, the value of 100. So as you tap them, they'll start growing in size and a number will go up from 0 to 100. But as you're touching them, you can't let them touch each other. So as the levels progress and go up, they start moving, they start getting near to each other, farther from each other. You start to get obstacles that are in the way at higher levels. And the idea is basically on each level to get up to a value of 100 as quickly as possible. So what you start to learn is that, you know, I can put multi-fingers down, but you're trying to keep track of making sure things don't bump into each other. And it's a very interesting game. I like it because, and it's a lot of fun because it is really taking advantage of sort of the multi-touch. If you want to get really good at it, you have to kind of learn how to manipulate the screen, and it takes full advantage of the iPad. So that's a really fun game, and it's new, and it's called, I think, Hundreds.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Kyle, what have you got for us, by any chance?
Adam's pick, and I had Kelly's pick, and it's really the coolest game ever invented for the iPad.
Now, have you played Seventh Guest?
Huh?
Have you played Seventh Guest?
No, I haven't played that yet. So you know, just let me finish my pick.
Okay.
I don't think it's because this is the greatest thing. No, I haven't played that, but it's called The Room. It's $2. If you're into puzzle games, if you're into fantastic graphics, if you're into, you know, just using your mind and like clues and all these sort of stuff, it's the perfect game. I was so addicted to it over the over the holidays, and they need more damn rooms. That's all I got to say.
The second one's well too short.
It's too short, yeah. It's way, way too short. But at least they make you crave for more. So at least they left you with that sort of taste in your mouth, and it was just fantastic. The best $2 I've spent in the entire year of 2012.
Excellent. Now, Seventh Guest was very... when the music played like that and I looked at the image, I got the impression of Seventh Guest straight away when I saw it, which was a fantastic game, and he's 20 probably years old. Will, didn't you have a tie-in with Seventh Guest when it came on iOS?
Yeah, they used to sponsor British Bank. It was called something software to do with...
Trilobite.
Trilobite, that's it, Trilobite, yeah.
You can't remember the name of them, and they gave you money.
They were a very generous sponsor, very nice. God knows what they chose me, but they did.
Yeah, Christ knows what they were called, but they were very generous and very nice.
They were very nice. I mean, Seventh Guest and 11th Hour, probably seminal games in the history of computer entertainment, would you say so?
And I've got to say, Kyle, just on that basis, I thought about getting room after you tweeted it out. So now you've said it's great.
It's also much like Myst for those people who enjoyed that. Both in terms of visuals and in terms of the sorts of puzzles, although it's definitely not at all a clone. It's just its own entity. It's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, it is amazing. I will put this out though. If it does work, I think it works. I know it works on iPad 2 and of course the iPad Mini and all that. It does not work on the iPhone 4. And I think that on the iPhone 4S it works, and of course the iPhone 5, there is a version where you can try it for free, and then you have to pay from so on. The iPad versions, however, though, they're $1.99. So the iPhone 4, it won't work on.
Mark Shepherd in the chat room says that he's got some hints from the developers that there's a future expansion of the game planned.
Yeah, they did confirm that there are more rooms coming. That has been officially confirmed. We don't know when, but they have said that more is on the way.
He sounded like a news anchor there. It has been officially confirmed. We have no idea as to when yet.
I've watched BBC News. I know what, because over there, all of the news sounds like this.
Kelly, can you just put your just put up your finger just up to your ear and just say breaking news?
I'm sorry. I believe we have breaking news.
There you go.
Will, take that confused look off your face and give us your pick, mate.
I can't help it now. Am I back to normal or am I still...
Mate, that's don't feed normal? Me lines like that. Do not feed me lines like that. Just get on with your pick, man.
I've been looking at Mac Playmate. You can get it's available for download on Macintosh Garden for nothing. And you can run it in an emulator called Sheep Shaver.
Yep.
I don't have a scary connection, but maybe they did a sequel involving animals.
Oh, man.
What? Now, I don't know about yourself, but everybody's skint, especially after Christmas. And if you've got a credit card, you think, I'll buy whatever I need to buy for this Christmas to keep my family and children happy. And now we're all sort of regretting it. And it's a really good application called Debt Manager for the iPhone or iOS, I should say. Debt Manager. And it's really nice. I find these sort of things quite confusing, the whole money gubbins, and how many years you got to pay it back, and what the interest is, and whether it's APR or whether it's sort of on a monthly interest rate and stuff. This makes it really easy and almost fun. So you put all your debts in. It's a fun debt application.
Go on.
If there was ever such a thing. So you put all your debts in, right? And you can type in things like your minimum payment and things like that. And it tells you which ones to pay off first. And it's got a rather nice thing called Snowflakes and Snowball. And so Snowflakes is paying above the minimum payment, and they create a snowball. And that shows you how quickly, so the more snowflakes you add to your debt, the quicker it's going to get paid off. And it tells you how much money you're going to save on the debt if you hadn't done that. And so it's really good.
Excellent, mate.
I haven't done it, though. At the moment, mine's just like a zero blank thing. So it sounded all very good, didn't it? But I don't actually can't be arsed, really, can you? I mean, go through all your credit card statements. How depressing is that? I don't want to know. I think put a head in the sand and just pay the minimum payment until we're dead. The other day, I was...
You're a financial advisor.
I was in bed, right, and I'd got this really bad sore throat. I was feeling absolutely terrible. I'd never felt so ill in my life. This was probably about 3 months ago. But then I thought, I'm going to die. But it was okay in some ways, because I thought, well, I'm not worried about money anymore, because it doesn't matter, because I'm going to die. And so I don't have to worry about my pension or my savings or my cards or whatever, because it's all gone. I'll be dead. That's what they want to do.
It was liberating for you.
Well, they want to put a dead button on there. Like, don't worry, because you'll be dead in 3 years. You could type all your health things in there, couldn't you? How much you drink, how much you smoke, how often you go to the gym, and when you're going to die, and that could sort of put that against how much money you owe.
Yeah, most of America, it would say, you're supposed to have been dead last Tuesday.
There we go. Inspired suggestions from Will as to useful uses for your iOS device. The only one that he hasn't got is one that will give you a lethal injection as well. So,
there's an app and new accessory coming for that, I'm sure.
It's a new app. It's called Off Me.
Yeah.
It's available from offme.com/offme.
When it comes to the thought of dying cheers you up. That's... I'm thinking I'm going to die. Oh, that's quite good, actually, because I don't have to pay the bastards any money back.
Batwinch in the chat room, before you swear and cause me a load of editing, has given you the perfect application, mate. It's called deathclock.org. Death-clock.org. So go and play with that, Will. Just shut up. mine is Foldify, which Adam was going to have. And it's come from $2.99 down to 69p. It's available this week. And all you've got to do is draw silly shapes on it. There's loads of templates. Then airprint it out on a piece of card and then cut it up and fold it into a little shape that stands up by itself. There's tons of templates. You can make your own stuff as well. There's loads of preset stuff that you can drag and drop into it to make it look funny and dandy, and the kids are going to love it. It is made for parents and kids to have fun, and it's 69p. Don't buy it at
made
your
for
peril.
Adults to have fun.
And made for adults to have fun, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh my God, it's so cute!
It's £1. See, you got Kelly's approval. If it's cute, it's good.
Where can we get a hold?
Super cute. Look at it. Sorry.
It's all right. No.
Papercraft stuff.
I got an origami foldy day into a thing calendar, and so I've been doing a lot of foldy majigs lately, and so this is very exciting to me to be able to build my own. So that's why.
Excellent. We know what Kelly's doing this weekend.
Very good. Where can we get a hold of you, Don?
Right, you can find me over at screencastonline.com, where you'll find links to the weekly podcasts and tutorials, the SEO tutor apps, and my monthly magazine as well.
Okay, excellent. Dr. Happy Mac, where are you, sir?
I'm at Dr. Happy Mac on the Twitters. That'll do me, and in my little van whizzing around the Cotswolds, smiling and being happy.
Excellent. Adam, where are you, sir?
I am at the MacCast over at MacCast.com, MacCast on Twitter, MacCast pretty much everywhere. We probably should mention, Macworld's coming up, and I think a bunch of us are going to be there. I know it's a little bit of a distance for those folks over in the UK, but I think, Don, are you coming over, Don, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yay!
And Kelly, and so for those who are planning on making it or want to just follow along, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be live podcasting, I think, on Friday from 2:30 to 3:30. So I just want to throw a plug for that.
The chat room is now really upset because Winrad has found out he's only got 5 years left to live, according to it.
No.
And I'm apparently going to top. I'm going to top off on Friday the 6th of June, 2031, age 63. There we go.
I get to 67. Whoa. I do.
Good lad. Kelly, where are you, girl?
You can find me over at tuawa.com, the unofficial Apple weblog. You can find me on Twitter as Verso. And you can usually find me hosting or calling in to the Tuawa Talkcast on Sunday nights, U.S. time.
Excellent. Kyle,
I will be speaking at Macworld, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, Martin, what's the topic?
Basic security.
Okay.
Just... The online equivalent of roll up all your car windows and lock the doors and take the keys with you. So a lot of people don't understand the basics of security, HTTPS, secure passwords, things like that. So
that sounds an interesting talk.
Not at all. That's why I'm hoping to make it interesting so people will check it out.
Oh, have you been handed the turkey on that one? Did you get a choice? Or?
Yeah, I picked it. Oh, okay. Because I've done the talk in the past and it's actually gone really well because a lot of people don't want to ask basic security questions. Everybody knows the easy stuff about don't count your money when you're standing at the ATM and don't say your PIN out loud as you're typing it into the machine. But those things have been around, those things have been around like for most people's entire lives. And a lot of people haven't had technology in any form in their lives for their entire lives. So a lot of people don't know that there's people out there that are interested in your credit card number or don't know that there are very safe ways to transmit your credit card number so you actually can shop online if you want to. So it's just giving people basic information because a lot of times when people ask, they get met with a lot of, or they get an explanation that's so far over their head they can't really track it. So I'm trying to help make people who don't necessarily spend a whole lot of time on tech stuff at least minimally safe and secure so that they don't end up being somebody that gets their identity stolen by putting their credit card into an open site.
Okay. Well,
as a cunning tip, in the bit where you're on the back of a credit card, where you write, you sign your signature, if mm-hmm. you forget your PIN, I tend to write my PIN on a little bit there, and that works really well.
Thank you, Will. Well done. I got my BMI wrong. I'm actually better than I thought, so I don't actually die until the 17th of May 2038, which is a Monday, and I cross 70 if I do that.
Oh, you're going to beat me then.
Woo. I'm going to beat you. Batwench in the chat room's only got 17 years left to live, apparently, so I'll outlive her. And then there's no one else that said anything. So, and last but by no means, Kyle's next. Kyle.
What? Oh, hi. Yeah.
It's apparently taken 20 minutes to say frigging goodbye.
Yeah. Apparently, I die March 13th, 2075.
Hey?
Yeah, that's what it says.
How old?
How old would I be then? I'm not going to give out my age, but yeah, I would have guessed. I'd be 108. Cool.
That's all right.
You've put some shit in there then. You put utter crap in. You can't be.
Don't smoke. I don't smoke. Let's see.
You've got a BMI of 3 according to what you've put in there. Are you sure you didn't?
Oh, I've got a BMI of 25.
Damn.
Well, maybe there'll be some pill or some microchip that Intel will make that makes me live that long. Possible. Anyways, until then, you can find me at kyleswagger.com or at Twitter at kyleswagger.
Thanks, mate.
There you go.
And last but my name is Lee, Frozen Green.
BritishMac.com.
BritishMac.com. Thank you, sir. And at BritishMac on Twitter.
Yes.
We'll be back again next week. It's the Mac Show is back in the full swing. We'll all be here. We'll all be born mobile. And we'll all be going out with Swago.
Woo!
See you all next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.